So if you read the email, you can turn to the book of Acts, please. We went to a wedding yesterday. I was like moved powerfully by the Holy Spirit. I was weeping hot, like most of the wedding. The room was filled with ex-drug addicts, people out of prison, whom God has absolutely, totally transformed, who have been totally set free. And the minister, the pastor, she was a powerhouse. Wow, she walked in an incredible anointing. And what she shared was just like, it was amazing. God just getting all the glory, and it just flowed out of her, and the Spirit of God was moving, and people were putting their hands up and saying amen. It was like a real revival. Was like, whoa, Jesus, you're here. Like really here. Tangibly, you could feel the presence of the Lord. And you may know the story of Joel. He came out of prison, a drug addict, selling drugs. He was actually arrested for selling drugs. Really, the typical scenario. No father, abandoned, grows up angry, on the streets very early, like 10 years old. And forced to survive by getting involved with gangs and drugs and everything. Ends up in jail. And meets Robert in jail. Praise God for jail ministry. There are people in jail who are actually preaching the gospel. So Robert is one of the first to go to Goshen. I hear about Goshen, this Christ-centered, Bible-centered ministry. And Robert goes to Goshen and experiences God's love and transformation, and then tells Joel about it, and Joel goes, and now the two of them, after losing, you know, Joel has three kids, Robert has a couple kids, he lost his wife, lost his kids, and now they're both remarried. Everybody's being restored. Robert hasn't seen his kids in years, and his kids are back in his life, and he's speaking into their life, and it's just incredible. It's a complete story of restoration, reconciliation, redemption, transformation. Like, it's the whole gospel. I'm watching these two guys. I had a very small part to play, and I'm just like praising God. And you know, guys like Wendy sharing, Kim sharing, people are sharing, God's really moving. People are coming to Christ, and you should see what God's doing in people's lives. And I'm like, yes, amen. And I'm like, really, God? Like, yeah. Yeah, it's happening. It's happening. And I'm just beside myself. I'm like, wow, God, I guess you're still on the throne. Well, I shouldn't be beside myself. It's actually one of the Greek words that's used here. They were beside themselves. They were absolutely perplexed and amazed. That's what it literally means in the Greek. They were beside themselves. So I'm like, I'm beside myself. I don't know why I'm beside myself, but probably because I got into a little slump. You know, when you don't see things happening the way you want to see, and you know, you have a little bit of body aches and sickness, and that stuff can bring you down. And then you hear other stories, and you know, people are going through stuff. Let me tell you something. This is what I discovered this week. Actually, I'll just go to the Word, because I want to show you. This is not going to be in any order. I'm sorry. I'm just, like, excited. It's just going to come out. So, in the middle of revival, the outpouring of Holy Spirit in chapter 2, if you just go to verse 12, this may be my first point. Chapter 2, verse 12. They all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine. Friends, let me say this. Pay attention, because this is truth that prosperity preachers won't tell you. Life is hard. It's not easy. The biggest outpouring of God's Spirit in history, the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ, there's two groups of people. They say, wow, this is amazing. We are so amazed. What does this mean? And others who say, they're drunk. They're just a bunch of freaks. In life, there's always going to be the naysayers and the ones that say, wow, God is moving. Listen to me. Some of you are going through very difficult situations right now. You know why? Because God is moving.
Amen.
And he wants to use you. And Satan does not want anyone to be used by the Lord, so he's going to try to trip you up. And it may look dark in your house, but let me tell you something. In God's house, God is moving. The light is shining bright. And out there, God is shining bright. Okay, that's point number one, if there is a point to this whole thing. Okay. I'm just like overwhelmed. I've been reading the first five chapters of Acts, and it's incredible. So let me try to ground myself in this text and give you some context to what's going on. Chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had come, it's 50 days later. Jesus had been taken up on the 40th day after his resurrection. 50 days later, they were all together in one place, verse 1. Suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. 120 of them gathered in a house, and they're praying, and let me show you some of this. This is key. Just going to give you the points that I believe are necessary for the presence of Holy Spirit to come and revive and awaken the people of God. Because I believe in the last, I don't even know how many years, but we've been in kind of a slump as a church, and we've been asleep. And I'm just hearing what God is doing, and God is moving. And this church that we went to, he is moving powerfully. And he has taken them through stuff, and they have stood still through stood firm through COVID. And this female pastor who took over for her husband, just like, wow, she's on fire. And everybody in their church is on fire. And I see right now that there's fire on us. Okay? I hear it, I see it. And so in 50 days later, after Christ raises from the dead, they're all together in one place. Point number one, they are together. Unity, it says in 1:14, they were of one mind. One mind. Friends, there's no room for double-mindedness, okay? If we have two minds in the church, the word clearly says in James that anyone who's double-minded will not receive anything from the Lord. So number one, we have to be united in our minds, okay? What is Satan going to do? He's going to bring someone who sows a little seed of not being in the same mind. Well, have you thought about this? This little negative thing over here? Well, God can't be moving. What about this? You say, sorry, that's just the Bible. Like, wherever God is moving, Satan's upset, and he's going to cause chaos. Okay? That's just life. We can't say, well, I see this, therefore God's not moving. No, God's moving. That's why we see what we see. Okay? Are you with me? You're going to see the devil moving in your life because God's moving in yours. He doesn't like God moving. So they're united. Number one, verse 14 in 2:1. They were all together in one place. All together. All together. We have to be all together. There cannot be division in the church. And when they were all in one place, what were they doing? They were praying. Verse 14. Oh, I just want you to see this. My translation says, they were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Continually devoting themselves to prayer. Okay? Friends, we need to pray. Let me tell you right now what's happening in this church. I found out that there was a group of women meeting. And I'm like, okay, God, I know what that means. I've studied history. Okay?
That's right.
I've studied history. If you look up church revivals, church awakenings, every single church awakening starts with a group of women praying. Okay? They're usually praying for the pastor to get on fire or get saved or get baptized in the Spirit or whatever. But then they start seeing fruit. So I'm always checking in, you know, and I'm, you hear the fruit. You hear the fruit. God is moving. God is moving. On his sons and daughters, they will see dreams, dream visions, old and young, and he's demonstrating the Spirit of God is on them and he's moving, okay? I am saying that, and I'm hearing, there's a move of God prompting people to pray. Now, in my last email to the church, I was kind of prompting people to come out to Wednesday night prayer, okay? It is the sanctioned church event for prayer. You don't have to. I'm just encouraging you to pray. Why? Because on Wednesday nights, we pray for the church, and we pray for the needs of the church, and we pray for God to move in the church. And I encourage you, especially men. I'm the only male there. There should be men out there. My elders should be there. And I believe if you know, there's a cool option nowadays. Like if you can't make it physically, then join us on the internet. I don't care. Have it in your car. Or put it at home and listen in and just agree. Okay? You don't have to be there physically nowadays. But boy, it would sure be nice if you were there. Because these women are powerful and I just can't handle it all. I need some male backup. Here, so. Verse 24 of chapter 1, they prayed. They prayed to choose a new replacement for Judas. So they prayed. And then why did Holy Spirit come? Because they were united and they were praying. Why did they pray? Because Jesus said, listen, guys, I'm leaving you. But I'm coming back in Holy Spirit. So pray until that day that I come. Pray. And then keep praying. And when they prayed, united in heart and mind and devoted, they were devoting themselves. That's an amazing word. Continued. They didn't say, well, you know what? We've done an hour. We've done half an hour. Let's pack it. Let's come back next week. They met every single day, and they continued to pray. James chapter 5. There's an incredible verse there I just want to show you. You probably know it. James 5:16. If you just jump there real quick. This was not like little mamby-bamby prayers, okay? This is being led by Jesus to pray. Are you with me? Friends, Paul says, pray in the Spirit at all times. When we're praying, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. So he says this, verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. I never get a phone call to come and pray for me, by the way. Do any of my elders get phone calls to come and pray for them? No? Okay. It's just the Word of God. Like, if you're sick, I said last time we were together, there is power in doing communion together, okay, as a family. Do it. Break bread together and claim and declare. I showed you about declaring the blood of Jesus over your family and to the principalities and powers at this. Remember the Old Testament Passover where you put the blood of the door over the blood of the lamb over the doorposts and the angel of death was not allowed in. Sickness was not allowed in. They were waiting for God to deliver them. They were covered by the blood of the lamb. Okay, that's what that signified. So I said, very clear, God showed me that. We need to do communion in our homes. We need to declare the blood of the Lamb over our homes. Okay? Yeah. We need to do that. Why? Because by His stripes we are healed. We were healed 2,000 years ago. We need to receive it. And we need to declare it and tell the enemy. And I took you through this little journey about the Church of Jesus Christ has been raised up to declare to the principalities and powers that we serve a risen Savior. And we're under Him. We've been bought and purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Okay? That we got to stand firm, friends, because the enemy is out and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy and take you down through sickness. So stand firm. I can give examples of people who do that. They stand firm, they play worship music, and they just say, no, not here. Okay? I mean, there's lots of ways to do it. I'm not going to tell you how, but James 5 says, anyone sick, let him call for the elders and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. We need to get back to that. Okay? Need to get back to that. And the prayer offered in faith, with faith. What is faith? Believing what we do not see. I believe that when I pray, I'm going to see what I don't see now. That's faith, because God is able to do it. Now I'm sounding like a charismatic. I didn't write this. God did. Offer your prayer in faith, believing. Faith is believing. Will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they'll be forgiven. They'll get so convicted by the Spirit of God working on them that they'll repent of their sins. And guess what Jesus said a lot of times, not always, but the reason you're sick is because of the sin you're involved in. So they'll get convicted to repent, and healing will come. Are you with me? We need to get to that place where we are people of the Word, and the Spirit of God is leading us, and we're bold in our faith. And that's what came out yesterday. These people were radical Jesus followers. They weren't pew warmers. They weren't once a week people sitting on a bench. They were every night of the week. They're working for the kingdom of God. And they're downtown and they're ministering. And you know what's so cool? I mean, I know Robert. He's a great man of God. And God really touched him at Goshen. And Joel was just touched by God at Goshen. Joel and Robert are totally different. Joel, you can't stop him. He's just like, go, 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 go. He's like, what did they call him? A Mexican jumping bee. He just goes, right? He's always on. He can't stop. So Robert and Joel, and they know their place, and they know their gifting, and they know their calling. And they go into the streets, and they minister to these drug addicts, and it's so amazing. Anyway, Robert says to us, so Joel, he's just on fire, and he's so radically transformed by God that he just preaches. He's the preacher, and I just, he casts a net, and I bring it in. That's, the two of them are like, Peter and John. Okay, so that's what they do. And they're seeing, like, he said 65% success rate. Okay, not everybody's coming, but the word says not everybody will. But those who come are getting cleaned up. They're getting them right away, getting them saved, getting them delivered, and discipling them into serving in the kingdom of God. And friends, that's it. That's our mission, okay? Go seek and save the lost, preach the gospel, get them baptized, teach them to obey. That's what they're doing. And God is blessing it, and they're growing. And to watch these guys from prison to bringing freedom to others because they've been set free by Jesus. It's so incredible.
Right, that they're being built up and serving in the same, and it's exactly what God's given to us. So we really felt a kinship to this church that we never heard of before, right?
So James 5, 15, offer in faith, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. Verse 16, and then he says this: the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That's a powerful word. Prayer is powerful, but it needs to be filled with faith, and it needs to be effective, believing, asking in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will give you. Okay? It needs to be about God's purposes, not ours. And so this passage really spoke to me. Why? Because James was the brother's, Jesus' brother, and he's one of the main apostles in the early church. And he writes this. Why? Because he's seeing it. Guys, this is what works. Okay? So I'm encouraging us. Let's really pray. They met daily. They were one. And they were a praying church. Okay? Let's keep going here. 2:7. This jumped out at me. They were amazed. They were amazed and marveled, saying, why are not all these our speaking Galileans? These are the people watching. These are the ones. They were gathered in probably outside in the temple court, and they had a prayer meeting. And they were gathered there, and they were waiting for Jesus to show up in the Holy Spirit. And the people outside are listening to these people praying. The Holy Spirit just fell on them, and they start speaking in tongues, which just happens to be the language of the people who are there. It was the Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, okay? 50 days later, the Feast of Harvest. So cool. Like, I just had to look up. God told me, like, look up Pentecost in the Old Testament. In Leviticus, it's a feast where they took two loaves of bread, and they waved them in the air. The harvest, representing the harvest, right? What are we? What is the church? It's the body of Christ, right? So, the day of Pentecost, you have the Jewish body, and you have the Gentile body, and this is what's happening. And they're both being waved in the air. Glory to God. Look what it says. No wonder they were amazed. How is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Cyrene, Rome, Cretans, Arabs. I mean, Everybody was there to celebrate the feast from all over, all these Gentiles, all these Jewish, Gentile Jewish converts. Like, there was just all kinds of people there, thousands and thousands of people. God chose to show up when there were thousands and thousands of people from every nation and tribe and tongue, okay, which is what he really wants to do, save people from every tribe and tongue. So he uses the church. He fills the church up with Holy Spirit. And they're just minding their own business, being filled with the Spirit all of a sudden. And people are listening and they're going, wow, this is incredible. God is moving. Verse 12, they all continued in amazement and great perplexity. The same thing. They were amazed and marveled. They continued in amazement and great perplexity. And the word amazed means to stand out from. It means, I won't say the Greek word, who cares? But it literally means standing beside yourself. They were like, you know, you ever get that? Like, you're here and something incredible happens. You go, that's what it was. They're like, wow. Verse 12 says, great perplexity. They look at it, and great perplexity is a crazy word. It literally means like, the Greek says, there's no way out. We can't explain this. We just can't explain it. Like, we cannot, in our rational mind, explain what's going on. There's no way out of explaining what's going on. So they were just dumbfounded. Now, when you have Holy Spirit present, you can't logically explain what God is doing. Have you ever been in a meeting where, like yesterday, God was moving? And Ruth and I are looking, is this guy related? Is he, like, there's some of these guys look pretty rough. And we don't know what they're doing. But these are the guys that God totally got a hold of.
Yeah.
And they're ushering, they're all like ex-criminals and drug addicts. Like, wow, these guys are, this is amazing. It's just, you know, my soul is just jumping. That's why I'm crying the whole time. We're singing. Okay, here's the cool part. The bride is no saint either, okay? But beautiful woman of God. Her dad is actually a pastor of a different, totally, totally different type of church.
I like this one. Christian Reform.
Yeah, Christian Reform. Anyway, the pastor says, we're going to do some worship. And the bride's going to lead us. She's got the anointing for worship. And she picks up the mic and is very, very timid. Very shy, and she's a very humble person. And she starts singing, and oh my goodness, within like 20 seconds, the Spirit of God is, there's going to be revival right here. She's got a voice of an angel. It was incredible. Hands go up, and people are just, it was an incredible glory to God moment, right? I've never seen anything like it. Where God was so absolutely glorified and lifted up. And you could tell that the only reason these two are alive today is because God had set them free. And that is the Spirit of God moving in an individual. And so these individuals here in our chapter today, chapter 2, are absolutely transformed. Do you remember after the death of Jesus, they were hiding. They were afraid. They're totally different now. Chapter 3, Peter and John, they're out. And they're about to experience what being filled with the Spirit brings to the world. It either brings healing to the man who hasn't walked in a very long time, or since birth even, or it's going to get the religious really upset. And that's what we see. And friends, when I say in verse 12, there's two reactions. You either go, wow, what does this mean? Or, they are full of sweet wine. These guys, we're just, look at them, a bunch of drunks. No, this is what happens with the religious spirit. Friends, in the middle of God moving, the religious spirit goes, rah! And I've seen it happen. In the last church, I saw it was God moving. I have two eyewitnesses here. We were growing, and God was moving. He was setting people free in the street. You know, people who lived in the marginalized were coming in, and they were getting set free, and God was healing and delivering. And then the religious spirit manifested. Ugly, ugly. You guys, that's not Holy Spirit. You're drunk. That's basically what it was like. They were against the Holy Spirit moving. And you know what? Back then I was young and I didn't know. I'm like, this is my first pastoring. Oh my God, what's going on? Now it's like, praise Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm so happy when the religious get upset. That means God's moving.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit's poured out. Now let's go to my text for today. That was just the introduction. Let me read, I'm going to start in 37 because I love this verse, one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Acts 2:37. Peter preaches this incredible sermon. You know what? This guy is like a simple, ordinary fisherman. And all of a sudden, he's empowered by the Holy Spirit and he gets up and all that comes out of his mouth is Scripture. Now, Ruth and I were talking about this. And it was you I was talking about, right? These guys didn't have Bibles back then. They didn't have a printing press. They didn't have anywhere. They may have gone to the temple, you know, every Sabbath and heard the word. But for them to go like 52 times a year and to hear the whole word of God, or to hear that the word of God expounded the Messiah from the Old Testament scriptures, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Was Peter like that good? How old was he? How long had he been going to church? And how much of the word did he know? But when he gets up to preach, this is phenomenal to me, okay? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. What comes out of his mouth? Not his own words, the word of God. Old Testament scripture after scripture after scripture declaring that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. That only comes from the Spirit of God.
Amen.
These guys didn't have what we have today. They didn't have 42 translations, 2,000 years of church history and writings and you know, internet and all that stuff. This just poured out of him. And this is what happens. Verse 37, when they heard this, when the people heard, all these people gathered from other nations, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, what shall we do? They were convicted. Mind you, he said, you know, you guys nailed him to a cross. You killed the King of Glory. That's pretty convicting. Peter says, repent. Turn from your sinfulness. Let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there it is. This is not just for us. This is for you too. Isn't that amazing? Holy Spirit is for anyone who will repent and turn to Jesus and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. Verse 39, it's also for your children. And for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. With many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. In Acts 4, we see they're now up to 5,000. Okay, so these 3,000 are out, and they're sharing, and God is moving, and it's growing. And you say, how is it growing so fast? Number one, well, I said they were of one mind. They were united together. Number two, they were praying, continually devoting themselves to prayer. Number three, they were filled by Holy Spirit. Number four, watch this. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles were teaching. Who were they teaching? Jesus. They were teaching Jesus. They were educating the people about Jesus from the Old Testament. They only had the Old Testament. Who knows what actual passages they had, because they used to write, you know, on papyrus, and only really the scribes had that and read it. So they really just going from memory and the Spirit of God working in them. People were getting saved. The apostles were teaching and fellowship, koinonia, okay? Breaking of bread and to prayer. These are the four things. This is the four things I believe of a healthy church. They were devoted to learning more about Jesus. They were devoted to gathering together and fellowshipping, communion together. And they were breaking bread. Listen, scholars are very divided on this. Did it mean they were celebrating the Lord's Supper, or were they just gathering for meals? Well, it's probably both. Or one or whatever you want to say, they were eating together. Okay? And that's why Freedom House has been called Feed'em House. Because we're all about sharing life together, eating together, living life together, and sharing a meal together. And honestly, church history has demonstrated that if you really want to reach your neighbors, invite them over. Share a meal together. Okay, that's the best way to reach people. The other way is to have them invite you over for supper. Okay, that happens a lot. Actually, that's scriptural too, Luke 10. Anyway, breaking of bread into prayer. And this is the verse, this is what really solidified in my heart what God wanted to say to us. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. I'll take that as a sign. It actually sounded like awe, didn't it? I thought somebody was doing that. God is, I don't know what's going on this world. Anyway, I don't ever want to lose a sense of awe. Like, when I hear these testimonies, I'm like, you know, when I got saved, I was a radical. Ask my wife, I was on the street preaching. I just couldn't contain it. We got involved with the ministry, and I was telling everybody about Jesus. He'll set you free. He'll set you free. He can do it. I don't care what your situation, he can do it. Right? And they were coming, and we were feeding them, and it was great. And the devil was working, oh my goodness. But praise God, there was victory. People were coming to Christ. People were coming to the church, and they were getting saved and healed. Religion will steal that awe. If I had battled one thing in the last 17 years as a pastor, 23 years as a Christian, it's been the religious spirit criticizing what God is doing. It's all through history. You know what? You can look up any revival from Jonathan Edwards, the Great Awakening, to D.L. Moody in the States, to even the Airport Fellowship, England, the great revivals in England. And every time God is moving, there's a group over here that are criticizing. And I just want to say, you know what? I may have been guilty myself. I'll just be honest. Sometimes I think, you know, is it really God? But who am I to judge? God can do whatever he wants. And what God has been really doing in me is recapturing the awe. And you know what? That's what the stories are about. And when I talk to some of these people who even spoke today, it's like, God, you're still amazing. You still amaze me that you would reach down into a pit that someone is in and pull them up and set them on a rock and clean them up and use them for your kingdom. That's still the greatest miracle, I think. It goes beyond any physical miracle, is the transformation of a soul. Like we hear, if you saw Bianca, and I can just imagine what God's going to use her for, to her generation. Isn't that incredible? God be glorified. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's not lose that awe. And then many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. I believe that because they had all of the above, God was, as Scripture says in Mark 16, confirming his word with signs and wonders. Friends, this is not history, as some churches want to teach. Okay, the book of Acts is not history. It is, in my opinion, and many other charismatic, Pentecostal, Bible-believing people, it is prescription for the church today. Because in Mark 16, he says, preach the word, preach the good news, cast out demons, heal the sick, all that stuff, raise the dead, and I will confirm my word with signs and wonders. If you preach it, I will confirm it. I cannot preach a risen Savior who saves and heals and sets free without seeing, healing, and setting free. Otherwise, I'm a liar. God's not a liar. And so I want us to live in the anticipation, and that's why Freedom House exists. Out of religion, into believing the word of God. That's right. That's why we exist. That's right. And this ministry, by the way, that what is it called? Trumpet of Truth Ministries. Passionate, Bible-centered, Bible-believing. What we read in the Bible, God still does today. And they are seeing it, and we have seen it, and we are seeing it, and they're coming. And when he, you know that lady, it was you and I, okay? Out of witchcraft. 666 tattooed on her, upside down, you know, pentagram rings and stuff. Oh my goodness. Praise God. God brought her into Freedom House. We prayed for her. God was already moving. Listen, we did nothing. We just facilitated. And, but it was, like Ruth shared, it was Krista, it was someone else. Who's God still working on? She's come for prayer and God's still transforming her. And she goes, just come and talk to these people. You need to talk to them. So she brings her in. She's making a disciple the way she is. She's not totally set free yet, but God is. She's just discovering Jesus is amazing. And she's telling other people. And that's the way it should be. It's like the woman at the well. Come meet a man who told me earlier, this is like, this guy's amazing. And the whole town is like going back, wow, Jesus. So it's like, okay, God's up to something. God's up to something. How do I know he's up to something? Well, let me just share. Why did I put my glasses on? Just going to step out of scripture for a little bit and just tell you a little bit, which I have shared here already, but God, I wrote it down. God really wanted me to remember this because he brought it up. And I don't remember dreams. And I had one dream in the last how many years? I can't remember. But this one, he said, share it again. Ruth and I are driving down the road. It's pretty boring. Like, it's just a regular, nothing fantastic about the drive. And it's a regular road, and we get to a T intersection. And there's a river on the other side of the intersection. So if we go, we either have to turn left or right and go follow the river. And I can't remember the whole dream, but suddenly, as we're sitting at the intersection, there's this huge turtle that's floating down the river. And God said very clearly, get on the turtle. You can either drive along the river or you can get in the river. Okay? Are you with me? There's only one reason God would bring that back. Because the river of God is flowing right now. And it's time to get in the river. And it's time to stop going the way churchianity is going and say, we're going to get in the kingdom river and start living kingdom. Okay, this I heard very clearly. Why is that so important? Because there is a destiny over Freedom House. There's been a lot of opposition, okay? There still is. I mean, if you look around, we're not even close to half of what we used to be. And so, we've been hearing the word harvest. There's a harvest coming. There's no, it's not coincidence that this text, chapter 2 of the Pentecost, talks about harvest. It's the harvest of souls, okay? And, you know, we were at a meeting, some of us, a few weeks ago, and the man from India, with Ruth shared 2 weeks ago, we met a man from India who God has called to Canada, Ontario, because the harvest is coming. There's a harvest. It's not a harvest to get them into the church, okay? Because we're going to get people out of the church into the kingdom of God. Okay? There's a huge difference, friends. Are you with me? I see lots of heads nodding because you know the difference between churchianity or what we call cocky church, church as we know it, who think they got it all figured out and it's the smoke and the mirrors and the skinny jeans and all that stuff. And it's just an attractional model. Come and see our performance versus come and meet a man who changed my life and invites you on a journey into the kingdom. Okay, that's what we're talking about. And so God told me very clearly, it's time. It's time. You're not parked anymore at this T intersection. You're not going left or right. You're going forward into the river. Okay, it's time. So this is where I'm just sharing what God is doing in this church. Because some of you say, well, if you look at the natural by numbers, you think, well, this is don't look at the natural, friends. God's a supernatural God, okay? The elders heard to sow $10,000 into a ministry we support. We believe God was going to do a blessing. We are not expecting material blessing. This, I shared last time we were together, this is the financially the worst year for us. We've never had a year in deficit. And I don't even know if we're actually going to be in deficit. The year's not over. But he told us to sow $10,000, okay? Which is always good. If you want to live by faith and practice what you preach, you do something crazy when you don't have, okay? Right? You step out in faith. When you lack, sow.
That's right.
So, here's the fruit. And this is just a little tiny fruit, I believe, what's coming. And you can't repeat this, okay? I'll have to take it off the way. Because this person asked me not to share, but I'm going to share because I'm commanded to testify. So, we have been feeling, and you know where we are now at 500 Willow Road? It's a very small location, 1,000 square feet. And God really gave us that, right, through people who are in our church, and they left, and we took over. And many years ago, I found out, talking to the guy beside me, the barber, that there used to be a church, and they occupied the whole main floor, like the whole floor, some Methodist church or something. So we have been praying and waiting and praying and waiting, and we've come close to saying, let's pack this in, nothing's happening here. And it has been hard plowing, but God is moving again. So anyway, I go in to see my neighbor beside me, and he says, Mike, you mentioned this before, but I'm letting you know that I'm closing. And if you want it, I'm going to tell them that it's yours. Okay. So in the middle of this, like what you see and what you see, God wants to expand us, okay? This is faith. This is faith, okay? And I can't get up here and say, you know, pray by faith without practicing faith. So I'm sharing this with you because I'm not looking for finances or anything. I'm looking for prayer and confirmation that we are to, when the time comes, probably sooner than later, also get the unit beside us. Knock down the wall. Wendy got that word not that long ago, knock down the wall. So we would have to knock down the wall and expand so that we could have service over there. Why is service over there so important? Because this is not our grounds, okay? We were brought there. You know how many churches tried to do church in that neighborhood and failed? They packed up and left because it's hard ground. However, we have been walking the streets and praying and done prayer walks and partner with other people and done prayer walks through that neighborhood. And what did I say earlier? There's a harvest coming. And God wants his position for a harvest. And we are starting to see it trickle in. This is what was so exciting. Chapter 2 of Acts says, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, all kinds of the nations are in that neighborhood. The apartment buildings are full of immigrants. God has brought the nations to us to declare the gospel and to demonstrate the gospel. Friends, it's time. It's time. I really believe we are in a place of awe. We are in a place of God, you are amazing. You're moving. And honestly, you can't just look at this church. You got to look beyond. I've told you that before. You got to look at what God is doing globally. There is a move of God happening. I don't want to use the word revival, but if I do, it means the church is dead. Because revival applies to dead things. You can't revive what's already living. So I believe they're awakened, but they're going to be revived. The reason there are so many Christians not going to church nowadays is because they're tired of churchianity. They're tired of cocky church, church as we know it. They're looking for the kingdom of God. And we have been called, Freedom House, this is our destiny. Yeah. to heal the body, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring in those who have been, you know, broken and neglected and even hurt by the church. And, you know, there's some of our people that have been hurt by the church, and I believe God's going to bring them back because they're prodigals, and however he does that. But here's the thing. If you get nothing else in this, God's moving. And he's about to move big, and we need to be ready. And friends, I'm stepping in the water. I know, like, my wife is stepping in, Wendy's stepping in. I'm just asking the rest of you. I know some of you are already in the water, and I'm just coming to meet you. So let's get serious about what God is doing. God is moving. Thank you, ladies, for your prayers. Like, there's a fire. I honestly haven't felt this fire, and I really attribute it to the prayers of the women meeting on Monday night. Like, I just put that out there. I think I sent Kim, like, just keep praying, because I can feel the prayer. I know something. I know God is moving. God hears prayer. He answers prayer. When it's offered in faith in the name of Jesus, he answers prayer. And you are hearing testimonies, friends. The testimonies, listen, let me just give you an example. I don't want to go on too long, but Alberto is
awesome.
That's a given, but God is really revealing kingdom finances to him, right?
Yeah.
Like, he just shared a little snippet of what God is showing him. Aaron's getting ready for counseling. Like, in 4 or 5 months, she's going to be graduated. We're just going to believe that she's going to come out ready to do what God has called her to do. Okay?
I've had visions of having meetings in the healing center.
Amen.
And I'm on my 4th course now for working with immigrants, because the Lord keeps telling me to take
Thank you,
all
Lord.
Good courses
see,
and how to relate to them. And how to,
amen. So yeah. God is preparing people, okay?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying is when you're a pastor, you sit back and you look at your people and say, what is God doing? And I see it. He's raising up all these people, and he's honing their giftings, and he's putting them on fire by his Spirit. And you know what? There's only one reason that happens, because there's a harvest coming. There's a harvest coming. And we're declaring in Jesus' name that husbands will return or come to Jesus for the first time. Right? Born again. Amen. So I really sense God's going to do something. I can't explain. I'm not going to be a prophet and say, you know, thus this day and that day and by the end of this year and the beginning of next year. But it's not going to be pretty. It's very clear here, because if you turn to chapter 3, they're in opposition. They get arrested, and thankfully they're out. Now, I could go on and talk about other things, but I want you just to see Verse 45, they began selling their property possessions and were sharing with them all as anyone had need. So one thing that Holy Spirit does is our possessions are not to be hung on to. They're not to be, you know, hidden and stored away. They're to be given away. Okay? Whatever you sow, you reap. And we're not to be tight-fisted with our possessions. This is Holy Spirit moving. By the way, let me just tell you, this is not a mandate. He's not saying you shall sell your property. What he is saying is, if you really apply this in context, is there were all these thousands of people from different nations who had gotten saved. Okay, think about this. God is very practical. They need to be discipled. So they hang around. Well, you got to feed these thousand people. You got to house them. Well, how are we going to pay for all this food? Well, who's got extra? Let's just sell off some stuff and let's start feeding our brothers and sisters, new brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? Think about that. This is the Spirit of God moving people to look after brothers and sisters who just got saved and need to be discipled. And they're from every nation and tongue and tribe. And so, I mean, just what you said, in our neighborhood. What if God started moving powerfully in that neighborhood at Willow?
And then they could reach their neighbors.
Right. And there's a lot of Muslim people.
Yeah.
You know what happens when a Muslim woman comes to Christ? It's not good. Usually the men want to kill her. So she would need refuge. She would need counseling. Okay? She would need the body of Christ to come around her. I'm just saying, who knows what God has prepared for those who love him? Right? We can't even fathom what God has in store for us. But it's time for us to think big. Anyway, verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together. That's twice we're told that now. With gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day, those who were being saved. Okay? Christianity was not a Sunday event. It was a daily living life together. And that's the message, friends. Number one, never lose our awe of God. Number two, never lose the awe of what God is doing in others. Partner with them. Join them. Hallelujah. I wrote some things down here. I'll just share them with you. If you want to get in the river and be part of the harvest. Now, these would come out of prayer, okay? I'll just share them. Lose the familiarity. I heard that very clearly. Get rid of the familiar. God's not about familiar. He's about, he said this, expect the unexpected. Okay? Don't ever try to put God in a box because he'll burst that thing as soon as you do. Right? He'll take you, kick you right out of your boots. If you read chapter 2, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You go to chapter 4, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. How many times can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does Ephesians 6 say? Or was it Ephesians 5? I can't remember. Be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continual thing. That's why we see it. If you want to be part of the move of God, stay really close in communion with the Holy Spirit. Number four, get excited about God in the church. The church is the manifold wisdom of God being on display to the principalities and powers. It is the declaration to the world of a risen Savior. Okay? We are the church of Jesus Christ, the called out ones who are called to declare Jesus. Number five, meet with fellow believers, like-minded, live life together, encourage one another. Yeah, stay connected. Number six, be devoted to sound biblical teaching. Make sure the preacher you're watching online is sound. Okay? I mean that. There's a lot of garbage out there. And number seven, in no particular order, devote yourself to praying continually. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.